The world's biggest biometric data scheme gets a legal green light. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. For India's 1.2 billion people, identity proof isn't as simple as flashing a driver's license. The poorest, who are often illiterate, lack addresses, much less documents for opening bank accounts or claiming benefits. And that's why the Aadhaar biometric card has been both a panacea and, in this age of data theft, a headache. Now, India's Supreme Court has ruled it is constitutional. The BBC's Davina Gupta is in Delhi.
The court has said it can be used for government welfare schemes like distributing food subsidy or reaching out to the poor for health care. It's also said that it does not violate right to privacy, as was alleged in the petition. The top court said that certain services like opening a bank account, getting a telephone connection or appearing for exams do not need this identity proof. And that's why it's kept them out of the purview of this Aadhaar card.
Where is the data kept? Why is it controversial?
The data is kept with the government database. The government has come time and again and said that it's pretty secure. They have a robust IT system. But there have been leaks in the past. This data can be bought with as low as $20. And that's alarmed many activists. But also even in services like telephones or bank accounts, anyone could easily figure out what you're spending on, where you're going, whom you're talking to. So that is why it should be voluntary for citizens to enroll in this service if they really want to. But often for the poorest of the poor who do not have address proof, who are not literate enough to create any other ID proof like a driving license or a passport, this was the easiest way. And taking that view, the court has said that though it empowers marginalized section of societies and gives identity to these people, the public interest cannot be overruled. And that's why they've said that it's constitutionally valid for the government schemes.
What do you think the reaction is going to be among ordinary Indians? Do people find the card useful broadly?
In larger public interest, it has been of use. We've recently launched the world's biggest healthcare insurance scheme in India. And a lot of those people who will benefit from it were identified through this digital database. The government was able to contact them directly to help them avail all the welfare schemes. As the court has said, ask the government for a better data protection. If they frame a better system, then many more people would like to be part of it rather than be excluded from it.
Davina Gupta, let's do the numbers. Asian stocks closed higher. Analysts are linking to hopes that from next week, Chinese shares could also be listed on flagship global indices like the MSCI or London's FTSE Russell Index. If they are, A-listed Chinese shares would be exposed to a far bigger pool of potential global investors. European shares are mixed before a widely expected rate hike by the U.S. Federal Reserve. Now, a concert ticket resales online form a massive industry. Here in Britain, the government regulator has been taking legal action against some of those sites for failing to protect consumers. Adishola Ore reports. She's a silver lining, Lone Ranger riding
through an open space. In April this year, the British rock band The Arctic Monkeys announced a UK tour after a four-year hiatus since the release of their album AM. Fans were hungry to see the band live, but once released, tickets for the series of shows sold out within minutes. Shortly after, they appeared on resale sites such as Viagogo for more than $450 for a London show, up from the face value of $90. I've come to Parsons Green in South London to meet Ian McAndrew, the manager of the Arctic Monkeys, to find out how the band has been tackling ticket touting.
Limiting the number of tickets any purchaser can buy to four per person. Secondly, we're asking that the purchaser's name is on the ticket and that they're required to bring ID when they arrive. We've also asked some of the resale sites to refrain from listing those tickets on their sites.
While Ticketmaster is shutting down its resale sites, StubHub and Viagogo are still in operation. The UK's Consumer Markets Authority has launched legal action against Viagogo, saying its investigation found the site breaks consumer law. When approached for a comment by the BBC about the court action, Viagogo read a statement saying, "Having worked closely with the CMA for some time, we are disappointed with the announcement of formal action today." Claire Turnham was an unfortunate victim of the secondary ticketing industry.
"I genuinely believe that I was buying the last four tickets and that those tickets were £263 for the four. There was nothing that said per ticket and there were no fees described. So once the payment had been authorised, I then realised that I had also been charged £350 in fees and £263 per ticket. I was in tears.
Viagogo issued Claire a full refund and said the overcharging was due to a glitch. After her experience, she set up the Facebook group and campaign Victims of Viagogo, which provides advice for people who have grievances with the ticketing website. She says the group has helped people claim back $985,000 since it was set up last year. For Claire, the action against Viagogo is a positive sign that secondary ticketing sites are facing closer scrutiny. And separately in August, Ticketmaster announced that it's setting up its own fan-to-fan resale site where tickets can be sold at face value. It remains to be seen whether tickets for the next Arctic Monkeys tour will be as hard or as expensive to get hold of.
Adeshila Ore reporting there. Now, finally, a fantasy bar, part chemistry class, part social hour, is opening a second venue in London today. The Cauldron Pub opened in New York City this week, too. You get a wand, a robe, and a lot of alcoholic potions to mix, all part of a bid to draw in millennials. Hopefully no tetchy headmistresses. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.